Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, I'm Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, and what a great morning it is. Boy, I tell you, the wonders of time. It's been an interesting morning, but all is well to hear. Just want to say good morning, good morning, good morning. It is Saturday morning. It's an exciting Saturday morning. We are getting prepared to go on the mother and daughter bonding cruise. For all of you mothers and daughters that are not going with us, we're going to think about you. It's going to be exciting. But we have some exciting news. We're going back in June, so you'll have an opportunity to go with it's mothers and daughters of all ages. And in a couple of weeks, a young lady is going to be heading up that venture for us, and she's going to make sure that the information get out there to you so that you can participate with what we're doing. We don't want to wait till the last minute, so we're putting things out there. We have a new program that's coming up that everybody's excited about. And I'm talking a little slow here this morning because of the lateness of the hour and some things that I were doing. So just bear with me. I truly appreciate it. So that I can get my document up in place. But before we get into all of this craziness, let me just go ahead and say thank you to God, because we have an opportunity to get up this morning and to walk around and rejoice in a good body, a good mind, and just feeling really good about it. I'm excited about the opportunity for mothers and daughters to go to Jamaica and opportunities that we'll be able to sit around and have conversations that's going to enhance our minds as mothers. So, Father God, with all that being said, we just thank you for the opportunity to come forth and giving me this precious time to speak to mothers and daughters around the world. I thank you for choosing me for this assignment. I enjoy it. I get up every Saturday morning, Father, with joy in my heart, just knowing that you are going to use the Holy Spirit to speak to me to deliver a message to mothers and daughters around the world. And I don't know who they are, but just know if it hits your spirit, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And you might want to take that and take heed to make changes or add or subtract. Just go with what you feel in your heart, because that's the way the Spirit works. So whatever I'm saying to you, just know that it is the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And Father God, I thank you for choosing me. And may it be a blessing upon all mothers and daughters as we speak this morning, that they will get some revelation to the thoughts that are in their minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's see what we have today. We have an interesting conversation today. I just want to start with saying that we are going on the cruise. I want to thank all the mother, the ambassadors, because without the ambassadors sending things out and letting people know and putting things on the internet for us, we would not have the opportunity to meet as many mothers and daughters and do as many mothers and daughters activities. Without them, I am not a one-woman show. I have a group of women that are godly women that, you know, they're there. They make sure that things happen and in a timely fashion. So I cannot sit here on Saturday morning and say, yes, I'm facilitating the Saturday morning talk show. But there's a lot of things that goes on behind the scenes. And not only to my ambassadors, and I just want to say, because we have a lot of men that are behind the scene with me too, and they're out there listening. There's a group of men that they sit and they listen to it with the program with their wife or their girlfriend, and then they say, you know, what we do is that we keep our mouth closed, we listen, because what we want to do is to be able to learn how to take that information and deal with our wives and our daughters. And I think that's a wonderful thing, because we all can use help, and if they listen to what we're talking about, it's going to enhance their minds on how to deal with their wives and their daughters. because we none have all the answers. It's all a learning process. And when we can get that, you know, we'll know that there's no perfect mother and there's no perfect father. We're all growing and we're being led by the Holy Spirit to get us there. So I am off script this morning. I did not have my computer, and I am looking for it, so just bear with me. Seems kind of crazy, and you're wondering what in the world is Dr. Fletcher doing this morning. Like I told you, we're going to have an honest conversation. I'm not going to sit up here and pretend that I know exactly what I'm doing. I am looking for my document, and that's what I'm doing. So hold on just a little bit. It's totally different. I don't have a Word program on here yet. My computer went out, and with that being said, I don't have a Word document, and I'm looking through my computer to get that done. But if I don't, you know, I've done this thing so many times, I pretty much can remember everything that we've talked about. Let me give you a little bit on what we're dealing with. You know, over the last few weeks, we've done a series of conversations dealing with progressing from within. And then last week, we did a recap on that based on the fact that some people said, you know, I missed some of the sessions. Can you just go back and recap it and let me catch up with it? Like, no problem, I can do that. So that's what we did last week. It was short last week because due to the activities that I had, things are getting very busy for mothers and daughters. We're getting ready to travel, going on tour, the television program, the new website, the radio program, the traveling. It is absolutely going to be a different kind of mother and daughter program and approach in 2012. So as I tell ambassadors, you know, just bear with me. We are not the same. We are changing. Every day there are new things that are being added to this program. There are people being taken away and things that are being taken away and people being added. And God is just adjusting it, cleaning it up, bringing in the new, and making it the way that he wants it to be. You know, we can't all go down the journey to the end. We go as far as we can go, and then, you know, new people come on and then take us to another part of the journey. It's all what God sees fit for his plan. And with that being said, you know, I'm excited because I get to ride on the entire journey. I'm in it from the beginning to the end, and that's a good thing. So our topic today is an exciting topic. And, of course, every Saturday morning I say that because, you know, God used the Holy Spirit to speak through me, and I get the topic. I get it before you hear it, and I get the lesson because the lesson is for me. It's there to teach me something, and then I get a wonderful opportunity to share what the Holy Spirit shared with me on Saturday morning with you. So that's how we make up the show. It is done through the Holy Spirit teaching me, and then I get to share it because believe you me that if I'm being taught, then there's someone else out there that's just like me that needs to hear the same lesson. And so that's why we get to share it. And, you know, I tell you, if it's not for you, don't worry about it. Just put it in file number 13 and go on about your business and do what you do. It's not for you. But there might be one or two things that touch your spirit and your soul, and you say, you know what? That's for me. I like that. And then you can use that and go on. All right? So our topic today deals with daughters in training, the strength of a mother. Now, you say, daughters in training. What does that mean? That's what it says, daughters in training. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about daughters in training and how that process leads all the way up to the mother and the mother's behavior and the strength of that mother. Now, before you become a mother, you first are born as a daughter. See, that's the key. You know, you realize that, you know, you're a mother now. Or you were a daughter. You were born a daughter. And that's a process in which it takes place over a few years. And as a daughter, you begin your training. to become a mother. Now, sometimes when you're looking at a baby, most times you see that baby as being cute, and you look at them, and when they're first born and the doctor puts that baby in your arms and you look at the face and you make sure they have 10 fingers and 10 toes. You know, that's just amazing how people would go in and, you know, let me count the toes and make sure the ears are there and eyes. I mean, she has hair, and you look all over and, yes, you know, all the parts are there and you're just so excited. You know, isn't she beautiful? She looks just like. And, of course, we always have somebody that the baby looks like. But we never look at that baby as this baby is going to grow up to become someone else's mother. At that time, we are actually just analyzing and looking at the baby. It's like an acorn. When you see an acorn, you look at it as an acorn, but you never see the oak tree. You know, we don't stretch our minds to that point. We concentrate on where we are. But as mothers, if we can see that baby as someone else's mother, then our rearing of that baby and that process is going to be different. So if you start from the very beginning looking at the baby as a mother, then your thinking and your thought process is going to be different. Now just imagine that. Just as a mother, just imagine that. If you had seen your daughter as someone else's mother, what would you have input into that daughter? And this particular show, it's really touching the heart and soul of young mothers, the ones that are pregnant, the ones that just had a baby. You know, this gives you an opportunity to look at your daughter as a mother. And, of course, as I always say, mothers, if you have a son, look at your son as a father. You know, whatever I'm saying from the perspective of mother and daughter, just use that same concept of father and son or mother and son. There's no two different rules. We're talking about the same principle. So you look at that daughter and you see her already in that state as someone else's mother. Now, as a baby, you are nurtured and closely watched by your mother. Now, you know, some of you are breastfed, were breastfed, and as they say in the older days, I don't know, I don't have any statistics that would prove this, but they always say that a child that is breastfed is closer to the mother than a child that's not. There's some bond, an additional bond outside of the 9 months that keeps that child closer to the mother than a child that is not breastfed. And if you as mothers, if you could think about it for a moment, when you detach yourself from the child, the breast keeps the baby attached to you for an additional, 6, 7 months? I don't know. I didn't breastfeed my daughter, so I had my own issues on that. You know, that's part of this conversation. But I've noticed and I've heard that there's a closeness, and you can only imagine because of the extended time. Now, as a breastfed daughter, you are not only gotten that inner nourishment and that mental connection that you get from the inside, being inside the womb, as though, you know, you get that same nourishment from your mother from the breast. So it's a continuous process that you're doing. They're extending that closeness, that bond. And I can only imagine that would be closer. That step alone puts you closer to your mother than a daughter that's not. That's statistics according to, you know, what we normally hear. But if you think about it for a moment, to me it makes sense. Now, I didn't breastfeed my daughter. You know, I had reasons why I didn't do it. But it certainly, this morning when I was doing this particular writing, I'm sitting there writing, the Holy Spirit speaking to me, and a thought came into my mind. And I thought, wow, you know, my daughter and I are very close, but I had to work on our closeness. And the reason I say that is because when she was little, she really didn't like to hug. And it just came to my mind this morning, I wonder if that had something to do with it. Because, you know, I certainly talked to her while she was in my stomach, and I certainly, you know, rubbed and let her know that, you know, I was waiting on her. We were waiting on her, and her father and I was waiting on her to be born, and, you know, went through those processes and reading all the books and doing what you do and wanting to be this great mother, a great parent. But as a little girl, she really didn't like to be hugged. She did not want you to hug her. And so this morning I was thinking as I was writing, I said, I wonder if that would have, if she would have been the same way had I breastfed her as compared to not breastfeeding her. I don't know. But it did come into my mind, you know, did that have an effect on her? And as she grew up, and I know she's listening this morning, she's probably saying, okay, Mama, get off of me. But that's the price you pay for being the daughter. I have to talk about her because that's all I know. I only have one daughter. So with that, I had to really work with her to accept hugging. She would give me what I call the princess hug. And the princess hug was, you know, how somebody just gently wrap their arms around you and just kind of give you a couple little pats, just kind of lightly pat you. And I would say, what is that? Can you not give me a hug? And I would just hug her because I'm a hugger. I mean, I'm such a hugger that I hug people that come into the office. I hug people, and she just couldn't conceive that, you know. Do you know those people? No, I'm just a hugger. That's who I am. So it wasn't until I was having a conference in Charlotte, North Carolina, and she was on her way, and we were talking about it, and I was telling them about the hug because it is important, and any of you, the ones that have attended the mother and daughter workshop know that that's a big part of it. It's that connecting through the hug and connecting through your eyes and recapturing that moment that when you first look into your daughter's eyes. This is how we get that bond started, you know, is to reconnect. You got to reconnect through the energy of exchange, that spirit connecting each other, and the connection through the eyes. And with that, without that, you're going to be distanced from each other. So therefore, you know, I've always talked to her about that, and I was telling them that particular Saturday morning, you know, about the princess hug. And so I bet you about maybe 3 or 4 minutes she walked in, and everybody just sort of looked at her. Excuse me, my throat is scratchy this morning. Everybody looked at her, and she was like, well, why is everybody looking at me? And so I called her up because it was right on time, and I said, would you give me a hug? And she gave me the hug, and everybody started laughing, and she really didn't know what it was. And I was telling her that I just explained to them about the princess hug. And the princess hug, it lets you know that, you know, I want my space. You know, I'm going to do it because you want me to do it, but I really don't like people in my space. And I can understand that. And that's okay to a certain degree. But when the child is small and they are like 6 years old and they says, well, Mama, I don't want you to hug me anymore. You know, they're embarrassed. They don't want their friends to see it. And you go through that and you say, okay, well, you're disconnecting with your child. So I never took that as a reason why I would not hug her. I'm going to hug you anyway. And you won't have to deal with it. Because I want to stay connected to you. And at that time, I said to her again, could you just please give me a real hug? And at that time, she hugged me in a way that she never hugged me before. Because she realized that she had people that watched her, but she also realized, okay, let me just go through this process. And so we bonded in a different way in front of the mothers and daughters that were there, and from that day on, I never really had that problem. She doesn't do the princess hug anymore. because she realized, and as I was talking and went through some things, and I asked her to hug me later on after I'd gone through it with the parents, she got up there, she hugged me differently because she understood that the hugging is a part of that process. So we got through it, okay? So now when we're talking that because as a mother and a daughter, they know that something is missing. And now, not only the daughters, I'm not getting on the daughters, some mothers cannot hug their children. I've had mothers and daughters in session, and one particular session, this mother was there with her daughter for one reason. Her daughter was 27 years old and would not give her a hug. And the daughter thought, well, she knows that I love her. But the mother, that was unacceptable for her. She's like, yes, I know she loves me. But when I see her run to her friends, her girlfriends, her boyfriend, and hug them and squeeze on them and laugh, and when I don't get that, the mother was feeling like, well, she loved them better than she loves me. So it goes both ways. The daughter doesn't want to get hugged. Sometimes the mother don't want to be hugged. And all of that comes from what we're talking about today. We're talking about, you know, daughters in training, the strength of a mother. So all of these things we pass on to our daughters. And this is a part of the training process. As a baby girl and you're growing up, you're learning techniques. And mothers, we have to steer them in a direction, because even though, just like they don't want to eat peas or vegetables when they're little, you know that it's important for their growth. And you keep insisting, no, you must eat your peas. Now, I've seen little babies, 3 months old, the mother put the green pea, mashed them up, and put them in their mouth, and the baby would do what? Spit them right back out. No, I don't want to eat that. That's not what I want to do. And you'll keep giving it to them every time because you want them to know you've got to eat these peas. That's just the way it goes. You need your vegetables. Well, it's the same way with hugging. It's the same way with looking in the eyes. The two most difficult things when we do our workshop, people are so uncomfortable because they have done what? Allowed the child to dictate whether they want to hug them or not. Those are key elements in the rearing process of a mother and daughter relationship. Now, a prime example of that is the strength and weaknesses of the mother and daughter relationship. You know, as they get 13, then all of a sudden, here's another training module that you have to deal with. They're growing, their body is changing, and then all of a sudden, they want to detach from their mother. All of a sudden, at 13, the mother doesn't know anything. She don't know what time it is. She don't understand. She doesn't like my friends. And so there's another training module. Had you kept in contact with the eye-to-eye communication and the hugging, your 13-year-old will not go through as extreme processes as opposed to if she disconnect from you earlier. Now, mothers, especially those of you that have very small daughters, 2 to 3 years old, is when they start exploring their own independence. Now, what they want to do at that time, they want to start saying no. No. And then if you allow them to do that, and a lot of times people think it's cute, they'll say, you know, oh, she's just so cute. She says no, and I tell them, I said, it's not cute. Because what happens, that no is going to continue, and then when she gets older, you want her to say yes, and she's been conditioned to say no. And then they want to discipline the child. But this is a daughter in training. You're training her to say no to the various situations. And they watch you, and they listen, and they read the signs. They know exactly what you will allow them to do. So we are talking about a daughter in training to be a mother, the strength of the mother. And if you don't control them at an early age, what happens is that they will be out of control when they become teenagers. Then you're running around trying to figure out what happened. Well, what happened was you allow them to take control of the situation when they were 2 and 3 and 5 and 6. And then all of a sudden, as things changed, they kept going with the no. They kept insisting that they were the parents. And then you have another problem. Now, not only is this about the daughter and training to become, and looking at the strength of that daughter when she becomes a mother, it also involves the grandmother. And when I was writing it this morning, you know, everybody out there knows that I insist on grandmothers being good grandmothers. I mean, there's nothing that a child can enjoy more than the experience of knowing that they have a good grandmother. You know, good grandmother. I've had good grandmothers, and so it's important to me, and I am a good grandmother. I work very hard to be a good grandmother, but I also know that as a grandmother, I have a place. You know, I can't overrule my daughter and my son-in-law in rearing their children. But they know that they have an outlet. They have a grandmother. They have someone else that they can get an opinion from and they can talk to, and I'm not going to downplay the parent. So we're talking about the daughter being trained for being a future mother. All of that comes from their mother, which one day will be the grandmother. Now, sometimes, and I'm saying this because it must be for someone, it came out of my to my spirit this morning, sometimes grandmothers interfere and don't allow the mother the opportunity to listen to the wisdom of God and his guidance. And when you do that as a grandmother, and all the grandmothers out there that are listening, you know, think about it. Should you always give your opinion, or should you just wait until you ask, or consider how you give an opinion? You know, ask God if he wants you to say something. Sometimes we can get in the midst of the child rearing, and then the child thinks, well, okay, I have an ally in my grandmother, so no matter what my mother says or my father says, I can do whatever I please. And then that causes more problems than necessary. Now, I know some grandmothers have to be the police between the daughter and the grandchild. I know some grandparents don't want to be the police in there, but don't have a choice. They have to do it. So just to make sure that you stay within your proper role, you know, as a grandparent, you know, you need to always witness what you're doing and look at it and measure it and seeing if you are interfering or if you're really helping, okay? Because the strength of the mother generates from the nurturing and the intake that she gets from her mother. So if you've raised your daughter right and you've done the best that you can and you put in all of the godly wisdom that you know, then she's going to use that same technique. She's going to use her godly wisdom because she has it from you, and she's going to pass it on to her children. And, yes, grandmothers, you are the key factor to the still continuing generational expression of life. You will always be there. Even when you've made your transition home, you will still be there if you are a good grandmother. Well, sometimes if you're a bad grandmother, they're going to talk about you. So what do you want your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren to know about you? And your daughter, you want them to know that you are a good grandmother. That's important. So the strength of the mother starts with the birth of the mother. And I'll say that again. The strength of the mother starts with the birth of the mother. It is her learning from a child, then a teenager, then a young adult, and her adult life is what she knows, and that's all that she has to share with her daughter. And the way that she shared that with her daughter, she's going to do it verbally or non-verbally. Now let me explain what I mean by that. If you have conversations with your daughter, you will interchange verbal words. You will go back and forth. You're going to talk about it. You're going to explain to the child exactly what it means, because you have to keep in mind, you know, a lot of times parents just assume that a child knows. Even though a child may act old and act more mature, They still need that guidance. They really don't know. They're still a baby. So we get so busy sometimes as mothers, we just assume, well, you know, he's independent. He does well. He does his homework. He's on his own. But I have so many people that I am counseling that's dealing with that because they didn't want to be on their own. They needed their mother. One young lady told me, she says, you know, my mother had two sons and me. She loved them better than me. And in her mind, that's all she saw was that the sons were getting more attention. But the mother, when we had the conversation with her, she said, well, they were sickly, and my daughter, she seemed to be well and doing well and didn't need me quite as much. But the boys were sickly, so I gave them more attention. And see, what you have to realize, that even though a child may seem to be independent, there's nothing that takes the place of that attention that a mother can give them. They're still a baby. And you might want to get this, even though they may be in their 30s, their 40s, their 50s, to a mother and to a daughter, that daughter is still a baby. There's still that distance between them, and you're always training. As long as you're on the face of this earth and you have a daughter, then you have grandchildren, then you're always training. Your training is never done. Now, there comes the nonverbal. And the nonverbal is when a mother is not comfortable with saying how she feels to her children or to her daughter. So therefore, the child is getting the behavior from the mother, the interaction. You know, they have to really guess to find out what she really means, how she really feels. Because some mother says, you know, I love my children, I just don't know how to tell them that I love them. Well, it's very important that you tell them. You know, sometimes you say, well, they know I love them. And then that's why our husbands and the men in our life use that phrase. I don't have to tell you that I love you because I show you that I love you. And they get that because that's what they've been taught. No one told them that they love them. No one used the word. So they assume I don't have to say it. They know it because I'm good to you and I do these things. But it's a whole different program when you can actually say to a person and look them in their eyes and say, I love you. It takes on a whole different meaning. So it's the same with your children. But if you hadn't received that, it's going to be hard for you to do that. And that's why we get up on Saturday mornings, and that's why we have these discussions, because we want you to know you're not in this boat by yourself. We all are here, mothers from everywhere, on the internet, on the radio, calling in. We all can identify with one issue or the other. And no, our parents were not perfect. They gave us what they had. So it's up to us to grow, to read God's word, to understand who we are in Christ, and to get what we need and ask for wisdom for what we need to rear our children in a godly manner. So you don't have to be a doctor, lawyer, or an Indian chief to do this. All you got to do is open your mouth and ask God for wisdom. How do you want me to raise this child that you've given me? How can I help you get this child where you want it to go? And that's your role. That's why we don't have a book, because don't you think if God really wanted to, he could have left us a book just like the Bible, and he could have given out instructions. He could have sent the child with a book that had all the answers if he really wanted to. You don't want to do that. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to ask him because he's the only one. He designed the baby. He chose you to have the baby. He's expecting you to come to him and say, okay, I have this child. Now what do you want me to do with it? What is my role? And he will give you the answers. So there's no excuses. And when we get there, we don't have to do the nonverbal. because God will show you exactly what to do. It's going to feel comfortable, and you'll be able to talk. You'll be able to say what you need to say to the child rather than doing the nonverbal communication. Now, the most dangerous part of that is the nonverbal, because assumption, and everybody know what they say about assumption. You know, you assume something. And I tell people, I am not the one to assume, so I'm going to ask you exactly what you mean about it, because my mind can create all kinds of assumptions. And then it enters into my intro conversation. And once I get it into my intro conversation, I'm dialoguing within my own head, I might come up with anything. So rather than do that, I've done that for years. I don't do that now as much. I'm not completely cured of it or done with it because I'm human to one extent. I'm a spiritual being living in a human body, as they say. And so therefore, you got all kinds of conversations coming at you. I try to eliminate as many as I can. So when there's a question, I'm going to ask exactly what do you mean so I can get an understanding. Therefore, I don't have to assume, because I'm good at assuming and assuming wrong, because I put a lot of words to my thoughts, and then it enters into my intro conversation, and that intro conversation can create a monster in your mind, because most times what you think a thing is, it is not. The thing that you fear the most never happens. Why? Because you have created it through words. You have created a vision that really was created from words that were not from the reality point of view. And no one can read minds. So therefore, you know, when you have your child, you have to talk to them. Because if you don't, your nonverbal is going to give off what we call attitude. And then people will react to what they feel from what we label as attitudes. And attitudes is so, the word itself is so broad that it can mean a million different things. So when a person has a behavior and a mother is walking around and not speaking, and, you know, the husband don't know what's going on, the children don't know what's going on, you know, the mother attitude sets the tone for the family. Then, you know, the daughter picks up on that attitude, and you'll see a little child acting out just like the mother. So if your attitude is bad, the child is going to pick up on a bad attitude. If your attitude is good, they're going to pick up on that. But an attitude, the word itself, is unlimited. It's just an unidentified behavior that no one knows what it is, and they try to label it. And to label it, just to get some sense of it, they will say, "Oh, she just got a bad attitude." You can come in, and I'll give an example of that. You come in and to work one morning, you got a lot on your mind. Just had a couple things happen at home. Someone just cut you off in traffic, and you're coming in, and you're just trying to get yourself adjusted so you can get in and get to your desk and do what you need to do. And you walk past someone, and they speak, and you don't hear them, and you keep going. The first thing that person said, "Wow, what's wrong with her this morning? She sure got a bad attitude." Has nothing to do with that. They don't know why you didn't speak. They don't know why you were looking like you were in a fog that morning. So the first thing they're going to do is attach what they can identify with, the word attitude. So the same thing happens with your children. Once you come in and your behavior is different, when you enter that house, the father usually tells the children, "You better get someone to sit down because your mama is not in a good mood." Meaning what? She seems to have a bad attitude. Then the child begins to generate an intro conversation like, "Well, if I do this, well, what will mother do?" You know, because they're trying to figure it out. So they're having an intro conversation within themselves. Now, from that, if they don't feel comfortable, they're going to start separating themselves from you, because when you come in, they want to get somewhere and sit down because they've already created a vision in their mind that when you do this, I need to do this. And if you don't correct that, that becomes their reality. And it goes back to something that used to be a commercial a long time ago, and they would say, is it real or is it Memorex? Because a lot of times your actions and your behavior is not what other people think it is. It's because you're processing, and it's because you're being nonverbal. So therefore, the children and the husband will assume, we don't know what to do. So the last time she was like that, what did we do? And they're going to assume that's what they're supposed to do. So therefore, where did that come from? Did that come from your training as a daughter? Did you bring that into your role as a mother? How does that affect your relationship with your daughter? How does that affect your relationship with your family? It's all about training. Everything you do, mother, everything that you say is training for your daughter. It's training for your family. Mothers and daughters have a very powerful role in the family. That interaction will dictate the family. Keep in mind, you were in training as a child and as a daughter, and now you have a daughter, and now she's in training. Now, do you want to adjust that training? Is there something in what you know that you don't like or didn't like as a child coming up, being trained, that you want to take away and make sure that it doesn't filtrate into the minds and the thoughts of your daughters? Then make the adjustment. It's an easy thing to do. You start with having an honest conversation. You start with saying, you know, I'm not a perfect mother. I'm doing the very best I can, but we can do better. If you share with me your heart and I share with you my heart, we'll have an honest conversation, and then we'll have an understanding, and you can always come to me. You've got to keep the door open. You can always come to me. If anything come up, if I don't have the answer, we'll go to God and he'll give us the answer. We'll work it out. Don't ever think that you cannot come to me. So that in itself is the most important training that you can give your daughter, because keep in mind, you're preparing your daughter to raise your grandchildren. And that's why I'm big on grandmothers, because you've got to always think, when you have that baby, this is someone's going to be someone's mother, and eventually she's going to be someone's grandmother. And if you think from that perspective, when she's just a baby in your arms, then you'll be working to the end results from one generation to another. Now, I know someone brought it to my attention, you know, sometimes there are mothers that the child can do no wrong. And when you are in that mode, and when it came up in my spirit this morning, you know, their child can do no wrong, always right. You have to think about that. You have to analyze, you have to be fair, because otherwise you will grow up monsters that will always generate messy situations and causing things to happen. That will create the strength or the weakness in your mother and daughter relationship, and that will pass on for generations and generations to come. So I'm going to say to you as my last words, you have to nurture the relationship. And how do you nurture the relationship? You're going to nurture the relationship by your input, keeping in mind what you want to do and how do you want that little baby to grow up and become the mother that she should be, and then transform into the grandmother. I'm going to open up the lines, 954. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I am doing great.
Well, I'm listening to the topic, and my mind goes back to that hug, that first hug I remember getting from my own mother. Not the first one, but when I was 13, I remember meeting my mom, and then in my 20s, I remember going to my mom's house as I was going out of town, and I remember the hug that she gave, well, the hug that I gave her, and it was like really hugging a brick wall. And you got to remember that, and for the callers, I wasn't raised by my mom. So going to my mom this particular night and hugging her, I felt so rejected. I felt as though I was hugging a cold refrigerator. And me being a psychology major, know the importance of those hugs to your children, no matter how old they are. And so I, from that, it was from that, and I wasn't a mother at that time. I was determined that if I had children, that I would give them all the love and all the hugs that I could possibly give them, because I know how that feels not to have that connection with your mother. And I left her house that night, and I was so very sad, and I was so very hurt by the fact that she didn't hug me back. But it goes back to training. If you have not had that, and you don't know the importance of that, you simply do what you know. And so as I continued to study psychology, I learned, as someone who would become a potential mom, the importance of that, given that, because you get what you put out there. And my sons, I have six sons, the three that I raised, those three children, to this day, 22, 23, and 19, 20, they all give me hugs to this day, no matter when they see me, no matter when they get up in the morning time, if I'm around, I get those hugs and I get that love, because I have trained them to do that, because I knew the importance of that. And so you train a child in the way they will go, and when they're older, they will not depart. And even if they stray, they will come back. But in my case of my mom and myself, my mom simply wasn't raised that way. So she gave what she got. Good or bad, it was what she knew.
Right. Well, see, that's the key right there. But what I like about it, and you're a prime example of that, is that even though you didn't get it when you were younger, just the experience of hugging her, and I can, when you said that, I had a vision in my mind of her having her arms right by her side and not moving, and you hugging her, and she's just standing there.
Yeah.
Because it takes, if you notice when we do the mother and daughter workshop, it takes them a while to just get used to being in that space. It takes them a while to get used to hugging or looking in the eyes, and everybody feels so uncomfortable. And they say, oh, it just feels so strange. Well, to me, I'm like, how can that feel strange? You know, but then I understand it because of the disconnect. During the process of training the child, from the time the doctor put the child in your arms up until the time that that child is walking and moving around, you know, the disconnect, they don't reconnect. So therefore, when they get older, you're trying to hug them, and they feel like this doesn't feel comfortable. It doesn't feel comfortable. But I look at, they love to hug because you let a young lady have a boyfriend. Now, what she will do, she'll hug that boyfriend all day long. But
right.
It's a whole different kind of a process there. But I'm glad you got it, because we have to recondition. It says, God says what? To transform your mind. You got to transform your mind. You can't, in order to grow, in order to develop, in order to, even in order to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've got to transform your mind. You've got to do something that's different than you've done before. So now your boys give you hugs, and they will pass that on to their children. You broke that generational curse.
Without a doubt, yes.
And your grandchildren are going to be better off. They are going to be raised by fathers who are huggers. They know when the kid get up in the morning is to give them a hug, and then what happens? It's going to pass on, and even when you're gone, those children, your grandchildren, your great-grand and great-great-grand are going to always talk about the fact that my daddy hugged me, and Daddy, how did you start hugging? My mother hugged us every morning, and that's how you stay alive. They're going to talk about you. They're going to share those thoughts. Now, the reason I'm talking to this particular caller, anybody else want to talk, click one. I see you out there. Switchboard is full, but nobody's clicking, so I don't know if you want to talk or not. So we're just going to continue this conversation. Just click one if you want to join the conversation and put your input on there. It's the key element. A lot of times when they're sons, I hear women say, man, mothers love those boys. Those boys, they love their mother. Because, you know, sometimes mothers feel that, you know, we have to hug them. We have to show them in order for them to be able to hug their wives. You know, you got to think about it. They're going to marry someone else's daughter. And if you don't train them, they won't know how to treat their wives. So I commend you, because it's not an easy process to go outside. But, of course, your training and your studying and your Christianity walk, you know, gives you what you need to keep you going. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome. You're welcome. But, you know, it's the same concept. I'm sorry. Let me say this and then I'm done. It's the same concept when raising daughters. If you don't teach that daughter the importance of showing love, she won't be even forget. Yeah, she'll show it to her. She will hug her husband. But at the same, it's not an automatic thing. And it might not be an automatic thing for her to show that kind of love to her spouse or her children that's coming up if she hasn't been raised doing that. Yes, she'll hug her husband because everybody wants to be embraced. But what does that leave her with hugging her own children?
Mm-hmm. Makes a difference. That brought up a thought, and I have a client that I'm dealing with now, and I'm sure she doesn't mind me telling this. That's one of the issues, the disconnect between her and her daughter and the connection between the daughter and the father. I mean, she's the apple of his eye, and the other three children are like, okay, hello, we're here. Can we get a little attention, too? And, you dribble a little bit along and along, dripping a little bit of love here, but this one getting all of the love just doted on her. And the disconnect between the mother, you know, the mother will get a little jealous because, you know, a woman wants the attention of her husband, regardless of the children. She'd still want to be the center of his eye. And then the children are wanting to be the center of daddy's eye as well. So with that being said, the disconnect, and they cannot hug. So she runs around and she hugs all the children in the morning. And his thing was she doesn't hug the daughter because she feels that's your child. You have taken her on, and you made her separate from everybody else. So I'm loving all these three, and you loving this one. So their assignment last week was to get up every morning, and she was to hug that daughter just like she hugged the other three children. So when I got there, I said to them, did you do your assignment? And they said, well, I think we did it one day. Well, you know, I don't play like that. If I give you an assignment, I'm expecting for you to do it. So I said, so you all decided not to do the assignment. No, we did it one day, and then we got busy. So the whole time while I was counseling with the father, they stood there, and I made them, not made them, but I had them stand up there, and they hugged for 45 minutes. I said, don't just stand there and hug until I get back to you. Now, that's going to take up for your whole week of not doing what I asked you to do. But while I was talking to the husband, I kept watching them, and I kept saying to them, I said, they think I'm playing. They didn't know what to do with themselves. Even though they were hugged up, they were laughing, they were cutting up, they felt so uncomfortable. They were just wiggling, just like little worms, just didn't know what to do. But they knew they had to hug, and they just stood there, and they hugged, and they laughed a while, and then all of a sudden, maybe about 15 minutes into the game, it got a little calmer. And I watched them. I'm still counseling with the father. And then about 30 minutes into it, it got a little bit more calmer because, see, they were getting used to sharing the energy. And about 45 minutes, I said, okay, now, how did that feel? And she said, that's the longest hug I've ever had in my life. But I've never thought I would ever be in my mother's arms that long as an adult. This is an adult daughter. And just from that, and that exercise, it broke a barrier. Now, this week, I don't have any problem with that. They're going to hug each other in the morning because they had to hug for 45 minutes. But what it did, it got them used to it. It's the uncomfortable feeling of doing something that you're not used to, and people don't like change. So, therefore, when you don't like change, you don't want to do anything to make the change, you're not going to get change. You got to do something. Otherwise, you're going to get the same thing. So we talked about it. It was uncomfortable. It was stressful. It was, let me see what I can do. Let me laugh. Let me talk about something that's different. Because if I take my time and I look into my mother's eyes, something is going to happen. And something is going to change me. The moment they stop playing, they got tired of playing, they looked at each other. And when they looked at each other, a connection was made. And when they did that, that energy that they merged together and that eye contact, they knew without a shadow of a doubt, we are one. And there was no doubt about who loved who. So I'm looking for good things to come out of that.
I love that. Awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm not playing. Now, they know I don't play. So if you want to play, let me show you how to play. Stand over there in the corner and hug each other until I get back with you. Now, that may sound elementary, but the process is they don't understand that when you merge your energy and that energy connect, and both of them being Christian women, you know, the Holy Spirit was going to do something. I knew it. And the break came. And the ones of you that are out there that have been the mothers and daughters, you know the effect. The emotions break, the crying come out, the breakthrough come, and then all of a sudden there is a new approach and the bonding process starts. And that's all
but
I wanted to happen. And it happened.
But you know what, Dr. Fletcher?
Mm-hmm.
That break has all, when there has been a disconnect, that break has always has to come in order that healing takes place.
Right. It's got to. There's no other way. And people, when they start feeling it coming, they want to disconnect because it feels uncomfortable. When the more uncomfortable it feels, just know the closer you are to that breakthrough. And that's what I tell them. When you listen to us on Saturday morning, take these techniques and go out and work them. They work. You don't need Dr. Fletcher to be there with you. Just do them, and it works because I'm not the one that make it work. It's God. It's the Holy Spirit. Thank you, caller, for calling in this morning. I enjoyed talking to you. Have a blessed day.
You as well. Love you all.
Love you. Yes. Thank you. I thank all the listeners. I'm telling you, we're getting ready to end the program. It has been an exciting show. It's Saturday, November the 12th. We're getting ready to go on a cruise tomorrow for 6 days. So next Saturday, I will try my best to do the show. If not, I'm going to ask my daughter if she would do the show next Saturday or if she can. I haven't asked her yet, so I don't want to put her on the spot. But if I can, I might be airing the show off of Carnival Cruise Line, which would be an exciting thing. We'll be at dock, so I can do it there as well. Have a good week. Pray for us that we have a safe trip. Mothers and daughters going to Key West, Grand Cayman Islands, and then on to Jamaica. Have a blessed week, and we'll talk to you next Saturday. Bye-bye. Remember to hug.